Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go ahead and I'm kind of excited a little bit here this morning. I want you to go, if you would, over into Galatians chapter 5, and because I'm just kind of, God always is, isn't he amazing? He is just so absolutely amazing, and I just want to give praise and glory to the Lord with all of my heart. You know, I was, we had what, Mother's Day, we had, rededication of America, we had that. Last Sunday, what we had was we had the, Pentecostal Sunday. Absolutely. And I was in a message, and, in my mind all that time, I was thinking that, I'm going to bring that back. I'm not done with it, and I'm not, and I will bring it back. And then I started just having this restlessness going on in my spirit, and with that did I ever talk to you about the message this morning? No, did I give you a title? I didn't do that, did I? Right? Okay, so we haven't communicated at all. Well, the title of this message is The Mystery of Bearing Fruit. Okay, and specifically the fruits of the Spirit that we find here in Galatians chapter 5. And so that was quite amazing, those songs that we were singing about the Holy Spirit, right? And all of that, and such much emphasis on the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm going to make this proclamation right now that this be a transforming word in your life. I know that we've all read about the fruits of the Spirit. We've heard it preached probably so many times that, we know it inside and we know it inside and out. But this is going to be a little bit different here. I'm dealing with the mystery of why do one not bear these fruits in a greater way? You know, my question is, why doesn't the church exemplify these fruits in a greater way and flourish within them? Because this is the way of the Lord for those that believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, why is it that we feel so frustrated many times, or even a little bit on the bewildered side, because we read these things and we wonder if they're coming about in our lives? We'll even come before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, do this one in me. Or we'll say, do that one in me. Or we'll say, do them all, Lord God, within me, and all of that. How many times we've all spent time reading these things and looking for these things in a greater measure? You know, well, what I'm going to deal with here today has to do with the not of what the fruits are. I'm not going to try to define them, but the mystery of bearing them, the real mystery of bearing them. And an open door is coming your way. You're going to find a flow of the fruits of the Spirit in your life in ways that maybe you have not experienced it before. And especially, I declare it right now, especially over those problem areas and those trouble areas that you have, and conflict areas that you have in your own heart, you have in your own life. Watch the walls come tumbling down today. Yeah, so praise his holy name. So I'm just going to begin here. I'll read what is so very familiar with us. I'll say some familiar things and go from there. But here is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then it goes on and says, against such things there is no law. We can either go the way of the law, which is according to the way of the flesh, or we can go in the way of the Spirit, which is the liberty and the freedom of no law applied to us anymore, because we're ruled by the law of love in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so here's the first thing I want to say right here as we begin to look at these things a little bit. I've got some statements that I'm going to make. I'm not going to try to preach on each statement, but I will give them to you. And then I'll go on from there. And the whole point of these statements is I'm going to prove these things to you in the Lord. Isn't it amazing right here? And you look right here. Let me read on from there. It says in verse 24, but now, or now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And then there's an interesting thing that's always kind of disturbed me, because it looked like it didn't fit. And that was in verse 26. It says, let us not become boastful or challenging one another, envying one another. You know, it's like here we got a list of those things that are deeds of the flesh. Let me go ahead and read them, and then we'll go from there. 19, you know, these deeds are categories. You know, it's like we don't look at them and say, shoo, well, I haven't got any of those. No, these are categories, right, of the way that is of the flesh. And it says in verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and he starts out with immorality, you know, and that could be a whole category. And then it says impurity, sensuality, and then it says idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, that is of the flesh, disputes, divisions, factions, and then he says envying. Then he gets a little bit deeper here, drunkenness, you know, carousing, and then it says, and things like these. So you understand it's not an exclusive list, but it's things that are of this character and that are of this nature. You know, it's those things that are of the flesh, the way of the flesh, and the sin nature without the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes on and says this, and I think this is very important to us, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, you can make all the confessions of Jesus Christ that you want, but if you practice these things, you have no assurance of your salvation whatsoever, because this is the kind of fruit that one is bearing. You know, we need to understand that. And also, we need to understand, you know, that the word has not changed. If what he calls immoral now, or in the word of God, is immoral today. You know, wickedness is still wickedness. Sin is still sin. The flesh is still the flesh. And it's condemned before God. You know, and God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has delivered us from the way of the flesh. Now, there are many Christians that just don't have any knowledge of these things or how to go forward in the Lord. But now, coming on back, if you would, to verse 26, you know, so we see here, and then in verse 24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus, now look at this. This is the promise of God. This is what has happened, and this belongs to you in Jesus, have crucified the flesh. Let me read this again. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Did you see that? So it doesn't matter, you know, what problem that you might be having or difficulty or area of the flesh. The truth of the word is that if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, these things that are controlling you have been crucified in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a big point here is that people don't know, they don't know they've been delivered. Later on in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about the deceitfulness of sin. You know, once, well, you know, how many out of even the pulpit that, you know, well, we can't help but sin. Well, you know, if that's in your heart, can I tell you that that's how you're going to live? Because you have no greater expectation. You know, and then you talk about, oh, righteousness. Oh, aren't you getting a little uppity, aren't you? You know, you dare call yourself righteous? Or what do you, you know, people will chuckle and say, oh, what do you mean? You know, are you telling me you don't sin, you know? And, you know, that is a cover for someone who's now under pressure, under the microscope of that, wait a minute, this may not be true that I have to sin. And you know, yes, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know what I'm talking about there. You know, you begin to take a hold of the things that belong to you in Jesus. Do you understand that you have to do that? You have to take a hold of the things that belong to you in Jesus. If you're just waiting for them to be manifested and for you to have them, you will never get them. You will never get them because that's not the way of the Lord. And you begin to confess victories that you do not really see made manifested in your life at that moment. And the devil's going to fight you tooth and nails over that. But you begin to declare the victory over the Lord, particularly over your conflicting areas, your problem areas, your difficult areas. Because listen again, verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Amazing. Then in verse 26 again, it says, let us not become boastful. Now, this is interesting, you know, because, you know, you look at this and it's such a different list from the deeds of the flesh, right? You know, and then what he's talking about here is to believers. And he's saying, let us not become boastful. You know, you begin to look boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. And the one thing that sticks out in my mind more than anything else is that, hey, those that are walking in these fruits that are in verse 26, they're still living in the self life, because every single one of them are rooted and grounded in the self life. Boastful, right? That is rooted and grounded in the self life. What else? And then challenging one another, You know, where this is where the flesh through the self-life begins to creep back into the life of the believer, you know, because the self-life is what's dominated over them and not the Christ-like life. All right, now let me go on. And then he says, and how about this one? And envying one another, right? You know, so as long as we're living in the self-life, And we're not receiving that crucified work that comes by the Holy Spirit, these are the things that rule over people's hearts and people's lives, and it's the fruit that they bear. And when you got a whole church of people bearing that kind of fruit, then you got conflicts, troubles, trials, and difficulties, right? Well, we've received crucifixion of those things, because when I was in Jesus, would you put your marker there, and we'll come right back to it. And would you go over here and just look real quick over here in Romans chapter 6? I'm going to read you a truth about what you have received in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to begin to take it up into your heart and into your life. Make it part of your confession and make it a part of your faith in the Lord. Now, mark there in Galatians 5 and come right over here into Romans chapter 6. I know you've read these words, but I want you to see them very carefully. I'm going to look here. Let's start with verse 1 in Romans 6. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Look here. Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died? Now look very carefully. How shall we who have died to sin still live in it? So quite a mystery, you know, because Jesus was, and I'm not going to get talking about Jesus being, the last Adam. I'm not going to do that today. But you understand that he was a new man, and he represented a new man of new people born again by the Spirit of God. And you were in Jesus when he suffered and died. You were in Jesus when he was afflicted and the punishment of all those stripes and then being hung on that cross. I was in him. Just as I was in Adam of the garden, I was in Jesus as he experienced all these things. And when he died, so did I. In the flesh. Do you understand that that's your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ? You not only have inherited the life of Jesus, but do you understand that you've inherited the death of Jesus? Now look on and see in verse 3, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? This is the truth of the word concerning you. So what does this equate to? Well, it means that I begin to understand that I don't have to put up with that flesh stuff in my life anymore. I don't have to think that I'm a victim. I don't have to think that I'm a slave to those things. I don't receive anymore that mindset that says, well, I just can't help it. Or I don't receive that mindset that says, well, you know, you're different from everybody else. Everybody else has got victory, but you, you know, there's just something wrong right there. Somehow you just can't get a handle on it, right? These are lies that the evil one perpetuates into our thinking. Fiery darts is what they're called, so that you will learn how to live with things that you have victory over. You know, you understand that no matter what that fleshly way or desire would be, and I'm not saying that some things don't have to be battled over. I'm not saying that, or that there's not conflict or wrestlings with. But just understand, as you do that, understand that you already have the victory over every fleshly thing that you fight and challenges you in your walk in Jesus. It's not willpower. It's not self-discipline. Well, I know what I need to do. I just need to get, Lord, discipline, you know, in my life. You know, I need to get up earlier in the morning, right? You know, and I need to be 10 more minutes in the Word. You know, all of these things. And that's all real fine, and that's all real good. But that is not what's going to bring your victory, okay? No, it's understanding and believing upon the truth of the Word and laying hold of it, and you will feel a little bit foolish maybe, and the evil one's going to persecute you. He's going to mock you. He really will. He'll mock you. What do you mean? Who do you think you are? You know, you've been doing this for 25 years. This has been the way you've been ever since you were born, and now you think that you're going to say things like this and you're going to get victory over that. Really, come on. You know, what are you trying to do here? You'll hear things like that in your heart and in your mind. And you know what's happening is you're being afflicted by the evil one. Now, let me go on and read this. So you see this, and then verse 4 says, I love this, therefore we have been buried with him. Do you see that? Buried. That's called dead, man. When you get buried, you're dead. All right? Have been buried with him through baptism into death. Oh, you mean I was baptized? The Word of God says I was baptized into his death? Yes, I was. Yes, I was. Everybody say, yes, I was. Yes, I was. Glory to God. Now, look here. Now, look on. Look on. Same verse. Verse 4. In order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Well, may I tell you that Jesus was dead? He wasn't some dead. He wasn't partly dead. He was dead. And he was raised by the glory of the Father. Look on, and it says this, verse 4, again, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Look here now, so we too might walk in newness of life. Wow, isn't that incredible? You know, that is your inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and the way it starts here, okay, all right, now come over here. Hold your finger there. Now, see, I'm seeing how talented you are here. I got you three places. I want you to go over to, if you would, real quick, over to Romans chapter 12, okay? Because I'm coming right back there in just a minute. Go over here in Romans chapter 12. Now, look at this. Verse 1, Romans 12, 1 says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look here, to present your bodies as your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Wow. So we give him our whole person, don't we? We give him ourselves. The scripture goes on and says that he is our life, right? All right, now look on. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is. Now, this is a progressive thing that takes place in the life of the believer. You know, it goes on, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect. But now, how does these things come about? They come about by the renewing of your mind. You know, your thinking changes, your perspective changes. You know, and that comes because the Spirit of God comes in, listen, and takes control. As he comes in and takes controls of areas that you give him in your life, then you'll find truth like a ray of sunshine begins to be manifested up into your heart and mind. And it's like a light switch turning on in a dark room. And you begin to understand, this is really who I am. Now, let me tell you the problem back with the fruits of the Spirit and what the real mystery is. You know, what the problem with the fruits of the Spirit is that you, where the Holy Spirit comes in and you merely begin to see the manifestation of the fruits of the Spirit is when you let the Spirit come in and take control. Because after all, do you understand what they're called? They're called the fruits of the Spirit. They're not my fruits. I cannot manifest those things. I cannot manufacture those things. And the approach that many people have is they don't let go of the self-life and say, Holy Spirit, here I am. You take control of this area of my life. No, here's what they say. I need this one right here. I need that fruit right here. You know, they want to pick and choose what fruits that they want. The Holy Spirit's not going to be manifested in that manner. Nor does he allow you or I to still have self in control, and then he'll come in and dominate the area that you're afflicted in so much that you really need the help and the fruits of the Spirit. Now, he's gracious. He's so good. He's amazing because he's called the helper, and that's what he's meant to be. And he has that so much as a part of his mission that if you just open the door just a little bit, you know, here comes a little bit of help. But he doesn't really want to help you just a little bit. He'd like to help you a whole lot. That's what he'd like to do. He's so good. He's so gracious and so amazing. You know, that if you open the door a little bit, you know, but who in the world wants to bear a little bit of the fruits of the Spirit? You know, don't we want, you know, the whole package of the fruits of the Spirit? And, you know, and here's the mystery. The mystery is you got to let go of you. You got to let go of you. When I is still in control and me is still in control, but I want that fruit of the Spirit, you're going to see very little of it being made manifest in your life. Now, let me go back here, where I had you here. Let's go back, and let me finish reading there. You know, so the renewing of your mind is a very important point when it comes to the bearing of new fruit, of knowing that I have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's come to manifest that death in you. You understand? So if Jesus died to that particular sin or that particular way of the flesh, that inheritance belongs to you. But if you have no expectation of it, then you're probably not going to get it. You understand what I'm saying? Now look on. Come on back here. You're bound back in Romans chapter, or you're back in Romans chapter 6. Okay, let me read 4 again. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. All right, let me read on. This is really good news. Here's verse 5. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And he's not talking about the sweet by and by here, okay? He's not talking about the sweet by and by right here. All right, now you understand this. So, you come before the Lord, and the way that I agree with his death is through surrender, right? The way I agree with his death is through surrender. Lord, I can't control that anymore. I never have been able to control it. I'm not asking, Lord, for you to bring a fruit here because that would really be good. No, I'm surrendering all of me. I'm giving that area, I'm giving all of it, all that is there, I'm giving it to you. And then the Spirit of God begins to bring a death to that controlling issue that is of the flesh and not of the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, not by your willpower, might, or doing, you begin to see a manifestation. And that manifestation is these fruits of the Spirit begin to flow. Not by your choosing, not by, when I need it. That's how a lot of people want to bear the fruits of the Spirit. I don't want, the fruits of the Spirit when I don't like it. I want the fruits of the Spirit when I need it. I'm sorry, you're not going to get it. This is the trouble. This is the mystery of why so many Christians don't really see a lot of the fullness of the fruits of the Spirit in their life. Now, I'm going to finish with this here in Romans 6, where it says right here, verse 5, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death," this is the promise of God, "certainly we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection." Now look at this, verse 6. Knowing this, do you know this? "Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him." What's that mean? "That our body of sin might be done away with." Did you see that? That what? "That our body of sin might be done away with." So the next time you hear a preacher say, "Well, we're just old sinners saved by grace and you can't help but sin, what you ought to do is get out of your pew and you ought to get out the door about as fast as you can, because he's preaching lies and not truth. He's a victim himself. He don't know no better. Are you hearing me? He's a victim himself. He don't know no better. He's just following what he's been taught, and he's got blinders on, okay, and he don't see nothing else. This is the truth right here, this word. So it doesn't matter. You know, do you understand the power of the act of faith? That when I begin to say, "No more." Uh-uh. You know, I have died in Jesus to these things. I'm not going to be like that anymore, although I'm standing before you, Lord, totally, completely, absolutely helpless. And you say, "Holy Spirit, I'm giving it all to you." Now, see, you know, you're not bargaining with the Holy Spirit. You're surrendering to the Holy Spirit. There's a great deal of difference. All right, then this says this, so don't you love this? Okay, that our body of sin might be done away with. Listen, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Would you dare read that, pastor, out of the pulpit? That we are no longer slaves to sin? And then look at this. What do we do with this? Verse 7. "For he who has died is freed from sin." My. Isn't that incredible? All right, let's go back and we go back to where we were. Let's go back, if we would. I want you to go back to Galatians chapter 5. And so I want you to see that. Let me read these things so you understand. Let me read verse 22 again. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness." Or I'm going to, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And what are they? They're not my fruits. They're the fruits of the Spirit. You know, and what are they the fruits of? It's the fruit of where the Spirit come and is able to take control. I want to say it again. It's where the Spirit is able to come in and take control. When he can take control, then he begins to maneuver everything else that's not of him out of your life. And then he begins to manifest the fruit of his presence in that area of your life. Let me read these statements that I want to give you right here. Okay, statement number one is the fruit of the Spirit comes where the Spirit is invited to come in and take control. Now I'll read it again. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit comes where the Spirit is invited to come in and take control. You know, so our approach many times has not been a very good one to bear much of the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we come I haven't really surrendered myself. I just want the fruit, because, you know, I don't like the consequences of the alternative, right? And that's what motivates a lot of people, but they do not receive the fullness of God's blessing in these fruits of the Spirit. Here's number two statement is when the area of conflict comes under his control, he begins to move upon these areas of conflict to bring about his way. That's pretty good, isn't it? Let me read that again to you. When the area of conflict comes under his control, he begins to move upon these areas of conflict to bring about his way. And then this grace begins to flow in your life. And where you have worked so hard to not be that way, and then you've bore a little fruit in all of your labors, but now you come to make the surrender to the Holy Spirit because I'm bearing the fruit and it's the fruit of him. It's not my fruit. I can't do any of it. And then all of a sudden, there's something that changes in you by the power of God. The death comes to that thing. It loses its strength in you where it used to speak to you so much, where it did more than speak to you. It controlled you. It controlled you. And now it's not controlling you. And a new fruit comes up that you weren't even really trying to bear, but you are bearing because the Spirit's taking control. All right, here we are, number three. I'm going to get through these right here. Number three is the Holy Spirit does not manifest these fruits in the way we want them. I'm sorry to bust your bubble, okay? He does not, and he will not, okay? I'm not saying you can't pray about these. I'm not saying you can't pray for them. You just need to understand how the Holy Spirit works. You know, I mean, I can come before the Lord and say, let's see, Lord, I need that self-control really bad, Lord. You know, give me that self-control, you know. I don't want much to do with this gentle stuff. And kindness is not on my list. It's just not on my list, you know. But I sure could use that self-control because it's destroying my life. It's destroying relationships around me. It's getting me in trouble. It's embarrassing me. It's humiliating me. And as a confessing Christian, I sure could use, oh, Lord God, you know, that control of the Spirit. I just don't want to be any more kind. And God, don't talk to me about love, especially those that I don't. Just don't talk to me about it, Lord. But sure bring in that self-control. I'm sorry to bust your bubble. He's not going to do it. So our approach has really been a real detriment to us in many, many ways. Let me read this again, and I'm going to read here again, number three. The Holy Spirit does not manifest these fruits in the way we want them, or under our control, or while we remain in the self-life. Okay? I will speak more of that as we go through this this particular teaching about the self-life versus the Christ-like life. The old self versus the new self, right? You've read that, right? The old self was crucified. The new self is the resurrected life in Jesus in the Spirit. All right? Now let me read this on again right here. All right, here we go. All right, I said, while we remain in the self-life. Now, nor does the Holy Spirit bring them by our selection. He just doesn't. All right, I'm going to move on. Let me move on here as number four. I'll read these next week as well. It said number four, the Holy Spirit brings us through the process of eliminating the self-life, or as Scripture calls it, the old self. And now I'm going to get nasty, or the flesh, because they're one and the same. The old self is the way of the flesh, okay? I don't have to live according to the flesh. I'm in Jesus. Everybody say that's good news. Amen. All right, I got two more. Number five, what the Holy Spirit rules over results in bearing more fruit. Let me read it again. Number five, what the Holy Spirit rules over results in bearing more fruit. This is the last one. Number six, the Holy Spirit brings us into life in the Spirit, or the new self. Let me read this last one. The Holy Spirit brings us into life in the Spirit, or the new self. Now, those areas and those things in our life where you're going to see incredible changes is when you take up by faith what we were reading in Romans 6. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. You got to go. I'm talking about a conflict, affliction, something even rooted down deep that you don't even know where it's coming from, but you know it's not God, and you know it's the flesh, and you don't know, you don't even understand it. That's okay, you don't have to. By faith, you begin to believe upon the promise of God. I was in Christ when he got crucified. When he got judged, I was in Christ. When they scourged him for all of his wrongdoing and all that punishment, I was in Christ. When he was hanging there on the cross and he said, "It is finished," I was in Christ. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to maneuver down into things that are you've learned to live with, that God didn't want you to learn to live with. And he begins to take them apart. Now, if he wants you to understand something, he'll bring you understanding. We always think that God's going to tell us. No, I'm afraid he don't always do it. If I need to know it, then he'll make it known to me. Otherwise, he'll just touch it and make it go. Right? And you're left with, I don't know how it all happened. I just know he did it. Glory to God. Kathy, would y'all come on? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.